You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy, what is it, Thursday? We're rolling along as we are on a Thursday. Paul Gallant, Vanessa Richardson. I'm tired, okay? I worked late last night.
Sean, you got Mapes, rained on last night.
I got night. Professionally wet, yes. Because I can't wet. Say that I got wet because then Paul Gallant laughs at me.
But she did actually get wet because of the rain that apparently leaks through Minute Maid Park.
When there is heavy rain and wind, it leaks through Minute Maid Park. I have a video on my Twitter page, at SportsVanessa, to which you can see the last segment of our pregame show. Me and Brian Bogusevic, we're getting rained on. It was a lot. And then our set got wet. It was the whole thing. But shout out to the hardworking engineers that made it work.
Are they going
to
move it to another place now?
No, I mean, because it doesn't happen that often. And it doesn't happen every time it rains. It's just when it was a torrential, how do you say it?
Torrential downpour. Torrential.
I literally can't say it. But the Astros did lose 8-3 last night to the Rangers. 5 runs in 10 innings. For the Texas Rangers, here's what it sounded like with the 3-run double A.
He said double A.
Here's the 1-0, and that one lined into center field, base hit. One run is in. Here comes Seager. He'll score. They're going to wave Garcia all the way from first. A bases clearing double for Leody Taveras, and the Rangers open it up in the 10.
I think my time with you has rubbed off on you. Because now you're mispronouncing words on purpose for effect.
Taveras had a great game last night. Corey Seager was great. Marcus Semien. It just wasn't the best night for Justin Verlander. And then, of course, we saw what happened with Phil Maton.
Look, the Rangers should be better, by the way. I mean, they invested a ton of money this offseason.
$500 million.
So I sound like I'm making excuses tonight for last night. More than anything, you know, Vanessa, it just goes back to the strange lineup decisions that Dusty Baker is making when he's not there. Dusty Baker, the crazy lineup maker, is that the new nickname? Does that roll
off the
tongue? You know
what? A lot of people on Twitter were talking about what you're referencing. No Trey Mancini in the lineup.
Yeah.
On a much lesser level, Chaz McCormick played last night, which is great, but a lot of folks thought he should have played the night before because he's very good historically against lefties.
Yep. He should have, and you're just wondering why, when a third of your lineup could easily have seen Trey Mancini step in, why he didn't start again. I mean, he's been hitting well when he's been in the lineup. So, Yuli Gurriel's won for his last 21. He went 0-5 in a season that obviously hasn't been his best. He did have a brief stretch where moving up to the 2 spot in the lineup, things did get better for him. Jordan Alvarez, who did have a home run, but also had 3 strikeouts last night. Also struggling a bit. You can give Jordan a day off, right? And as you outlined, Chaz McCormick, not good against righties. And he goes 0-4 with the Golden Sombrero last night. So this is a day where it seems pretty easy to put Trey Mancini into the starting lineup. And it's just, why is he on the team?
We haven't been given really a solid reason as to why, and Joe Espada, who is managing right now as Dusty Baker is at home with COVID, but still, you know, creating the lineup. Joe Espada doesn't really have an answer because he's not the one making the lineup.
If you want to have a replacement for Yuli Gurriel after the year, don't you want the guy to play so he feels welcome here? I mean, that's another dynamic. Maybe the Astros are of the assumption that Mancini is going to leave in free agency this offseason, and he very well may. But, I mean, you're already poisoning the well. I feel like that's something else that should factor in here. You brought both of these guys in, and they might be short-term rentals, but Christian Vasquez has only started 3 times. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Vasquez can make a little more sense to me than Mancini because Mancini's been on a roll. You're talking about a guy that his first 3 starts had 3 home runs. He had a grand slam. He's been able to really be on a roll. What do you think the biggest weaknesses are when you look at this current Astros roster as we inch towards the middle of August?
Outfield depth because of what's going on with Michael Brantley. And in case you don't know, Michael Brantley is getting a second opinion on his shoulder, which is generally bad. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I feel like I can accurately say that.
Yeah, we don't have a diagnosis.
Otherwise, you know, I do think it's funny going back to a couple of weeks ago, Vanessa, when we we're thinking about what could potentially hurt the Astros, and we asked online and on the phone lines and the text lines. People were like, themselves. Yeah, it's so much depth that they have pitching-wise that you do feel a little bit better about some of the holes that they have in the lineup. Because now that Lance McCullers is back on Saturday, and with what you've gotten out of a lot of your starters this year, you can move some of those guys into the bullpen, and you should feel pretty comfortable, say, a game gets out of hand for a starter, putting one of those guys in and having him eat up four or five innings or something like that.
I'm not worried about pitching at all. I think the fact that we don't have a diagnosis on Michael Brantley makes me a little bit nervous. I think that when you look at the decisions that are made, you wonder, okay, for the playoffs, are they going to go, quite frankly, with more analytics-minded lineup with James Click? Are they going to stick with Dusty Baker's lineup who, you know, the killer bees, when they come on after us, man, they will criticize it 10 times as much as we have, because Jeremy Branham has been on this train for a long time with Dusty Baker.
Yeah, Branham had a pretty funny tweet this morning, which was, well, I bet to make room for Lance McCullers on the active roster, they will send Mancini down to the minors. And I was like, damn. But I think it works.
As the kids say, it tracks.
It does track.
We'll see what happens with that. They play again at 1:10 p.m. today, and that game is on YouTube TV. You brought this up, Paul, and I think it's a very interesting subject. Mm-hmm. Is there still paranoia with the Astros?
Yeah. So Richard Justice tweeted this out about a situation late in the game where the Astros, they decided to balk a runner over. Chris Woodward opened the bottom of the 10th, having Jonathan Hernandez intentionally balk to move Bregman from second to third and to prevent him from signaling pitch location. An interesting move, given that it's extra innings, but also considering that the Rangers took the lead, you can understand why. They're not in a game where they are potentially, giving up the winning run, sending him to third, and a walk-off. They did it, and here's what Chris Woodward, the manager of the Rangers, said. They're really good at doing a lot of things, the Astros. Just wanted to kind of avoid signaling pitch location. That's not cheating if Bregman was to signal pitch location. At that point, obviously, with a 5-run lead, we were going to do it. But they believed Bregman was signaling pitch location during Martin Perez's start on Tuesday. Perez also said it's not cheating. But I bet a lot of people are going to see that tweet, think to themselves, "Up, the Astros are up to their old tricks again."
Well, it's casual baseball fans that are not going to realize that it's not cheating in any way, shape, or form.
It's a smart move.
When I tweeted out the video of rain coming down at inside Minute Maid Park yesterday, the number one response I got, and keep in mind, I have a following from like other states too, because I've worked other places, was like, "Oh, they don't have enough trash cans to fill it up." I mean, this is still on people's minds. I think folks in baseball, players, managers, etc., they understand that, first of all, it's a different roster. They've let it pass. But the casual baseball fan, I think, Paul, is going to look at the situation and say, well, of course they did that because the Astros were cheaters. Not cheating. Very important distinction to make. Details matter.
By the way, we have been talking about the lineup a lot.
Yes.
This was brought up on the Twitch. The lineup is out. Guess who's in the lineup today?
Mancini Linguini.
Yes, Trey Mancini is batting sixth. He is in at designated hitter. Yordan Alvarez, it seems, is getting the day off. Still no Christian Vasquez. Martin Maldonado is your catcher. And in the outfield, guess what? Everyone's favorite, Jake Meyers.
My favorite part is that on the official Astros Twitter, when they tweet out the lineup, they'll normally highlight one of the players and have like a picture of them. Today they highlighted Trey Mancini.
Yeah.
They're like, see? Yeah.
Social media team, if you know, you know.
Did they have replies on?
I did not see.
Okay.
I imagine so.
I feel
DMs
like
DMs closed.
I feel like that would be one to turn off the replies to. By the way, the Mariners did take 2 of 3 from the New York Yankees.
There you go.
They have the most wins, I think, in baseball since June 21st.
Do you want a Mariners watch?
Let's do a little Mariners watch.
Mariners Watch.
Mariners Watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022. August 11th. The Yankees are eating themselves. Anthony Fauci threw out the first pitch on Tuesday. Was he there to help the Yankees with their diarrhea?
Oh, God.
I can't say. All I know is the Bronx Bombers are underwater. the place where we, the Mariners, shine. A trident of justice piercing through the darkness of a 20-year playoff drought. An endless quest to kill the white whale. It's within grasp. Call me Ishmael. The playoffs are ours. That's Mariners Watch.
Oh, my God. If you guys could see Paul right now, what really tops it off is that he has a big thing of coffee that
I'm
he's drinking.
It. Yeah, because it's Seattle-y.
Yeah, because it's very Seattle-ish.
It's a Vegas, Las Vegas mug.
He also has a beard, as you guys know, so yes. He's really in character for this one. The Yankees Watch While the Yankees Watch is the more entertaining one, and your accent I like better for that one, this one I buy more. Sean, do you agree?
Yeah, this one's more of a how actors kind of naturally are that role in your head. I feel like Paul as Seattle Batman is kind of the role he was made for.
Seriously.
Yeah, and the Yankees one is more of him taking a risk artistically.
Yes, it is.
Especially with what he'll say.
Right, just being discriminatory against people from
What's
the Bronx.
What's like an example of an actor that took a risk?
Leonardo DiCaprio playing in Gilbert Grape. What's eating Gilbert Grape? Sean Penn in I Am Sam.
Yeah.
I think now, I don't think you could play a mentally handicapped person.
No, you couldn't.
If you're an
Which
actor
is a bummer because Rain Man is a great movie. Definitely.
Do you know what actually did a great job of casting handicapped people?
Who?
The Ringer, starring Johnny Knoxville, which
is a great movie.
A movie about a guy who's trying to take advantage of the Special Olympics to win. It's a really messed up movie, but it's
hilarious.
It's a really funny movie. It's Johnny Knoxville, obviously famous for Jackass, but that movie is objectively a great movie.
No easy transition for the next segment. So coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, how the Rams landed their quarterback. And yes, it involves Paul's favorite activity, drinking, baby. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, HBO Sports and NFL Films are partnering with the Detroit Lions for an all-access look at what it takes to make it in the National Football League with Hard Knocks training camp with the Detroit Lions. This season, of course, chronicles the meathead Dan Campbell entering his second season, leading an intriguing mix, this is a script, by the way, of young emerging stars and established veterans throughout training camp of the preseason. Caller number 3-713-780-3776 wins a $50 NFL Shop gift card courtesy of the series. So this really has nothing to do with the Lions. I know you guys love the NFL. NFL gear is expensive. Call 713-780-3776. Caller number 3 wins a $50 gift card to the NFL Shop.
Nice.
Courtesy of Hard Knocks. Stream the new season now on HBO Max.
Dan Campbell is giving you $50 to spend on football.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
If you could buy anything without fear of misrepresenting your favorite team, you can buy sports gear from any NFL team.
Ooh.
What would you get?
Okay. This is tricky because I love the color. Again, you're asking specifically about NFL. I love the color teal and all that. So I actually, my answer for baseball would probably be Mariners.
Okay.
Because like that color. I should not like Baltimore. I shouldn't. They were really, really cringy, understandably upset when Robert Irsay took the little Mayflower in the middle of the night and moved the team to Indianapolis.
The Colts are stolen from Baltimore, so.
So
they're
get
real
it.
Cringy about getting their team stolen.
Yeah. Who would have thought? They're still petty to this day. I get it. But here's the thing. I like the Ravens franchise. I think that the people there in general, I love Jimmy's Seafood. I like the people in Baltimore. I think they're gritty. I think they're blue collar. I love The Wire.
I just started a rewatch of The Wire last night.
Without judgment, I would buy something Ravens related. I never would, by the way.
Okay.
But without judgment, I like the colors. I like the fact that they made the mascot Poe and made it super local. It's Ravens. It's different. I like the aura. I like the vibe. What about you?
If my Eagle fan family did not come after me as hard as they had, I love the Eagles Kelly Green throwback stuff from the 80s during the Randall Cunningham era.
One of the best.
Another one I also would like, if not for Russell Wilson, the Denver Broncos orange look with the D that they had on the side of the helmet. I think that was a clean look. I thought that the new look that they have had since 97, 98, the first 2 years they won the Super Bowl, has actually been like, I thought it was a good look, but I thought the look that they had before, especially as someone who's obsessed with throwback stuff, that's what I would get. The old school Bronco stuff is sick.
I love orange and
blue.
Too.
Blue and orange. I mean, Q's, the Astros, I'm a sucker. The Gators, I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah, if I could rip a Russell Wilson throwback jersey off of Russell Wilson, then those are cool, but I think he bought them all. I would go with probably the white, either the white or the black Cincinnati Bengals jerseys.
Yeah, those are nice.
Those look sick. Actually, the white helmet.
But
actually,
I might just buy the white helmet. Anything throwback related.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, you're bold because you do wear Mariners gear.
Mm-hmm, every now and then.
So there you go. What? Buy a Russell Wilson jersey. YOLO.
Win $50 and buy Paul Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Make him wear it.
You know what? I would wear it. I'd do it for the content. But I would feel disgusted the whole time. Like part of my soul.
Speaking of feeling
stolen.
Disgusted, every weekend Paul's like, you know what, Vanessa? I'm done. I have to stop going on dates. I have to stop drinking. I have to save money. And yet.
Yeah. Well,
and yet.
Is this an intervention?
No, it's just a really innocent way to tell you, I love you. I care about you. I'm here for you. I hear you. We support you.
Paul, everyone here loves you. That's why we're doing it.
Everyone here loves you. But sometimes, despite the fact that bad decisions are made while you're drunk, sometimes good decisions can be made
That's
while
true.
You're drunk. Example, there was a big article on Sean McVay that featured his biceps in the picture. And it was revealed on how he got Matthew Stafford. Quote, the 36-year-old head coach revealed he was a few tequilas in when he called Rams brass over FaceTime to champion for Stafford, who wanted out of Detroit. Quote, here's the effing deal, okay? We can sit here and exist and be okay winning 9-11 games and losing in the effing divisional round and feel like, oh, everything's okay. Or we could let our mother effing nuts hang and go trade for this effing quarterback and give ourselves a chance to win an effing world championship.
Sounds like a wrestling
You
heel.
Ready to effing do this or what? End quote. McVay recalled of the conversation, which drew laughs from Rams staffers on the other end of the phone.
Imagine calling your boss and just doing that. Let's do this! Yeah!
See, here's where bias comes in, because young, fit, hot Sean McVay can do this, but if it's like an overweight older coach, it's like, dude, get your life together.
Ben McAdoo can't do this.
No, correct.
Mike McCarthy.
You don't think Ben McAdoo could tell when he was the Giants head coach, he couldn't tell one of the Maras to let their effing nuts hang?
Absolutely.
You don't think that plays?
It is the most Sean McVay L.A. privilege thing ever, because half of the owners in the NFL have never been spoken to like that in their lives. Like, they've, like, never been cussed at like that.
Also, I was like, how drunk was he really?
Very
and
true.
Then you read the quote, and I'm like, oh, he was hammered.
He was lit. Okay, so what's the best thing you've ever done when you're drunk? Like, what's a decision
best
that you
decision.
Made?
Best decision, damn.
Yeah. I'll tell you mine, and it happened in Vegas.
Oh.
I was in Vegas, senior year of college.
Okay.
There were 2 months left of school-ish. I graduated in May of 2017, so this is like March, April. I didn't have a job lined up after school. My plan was just to stay in Indianapolis. I was working, not to flex, part-time for the Pacers, Indians, covering the Colts. I had a good gig going, so whatever. I was just going to do part-time gigs. But I did want a full-time job. I didn't have a lot of money, you know, whatever. So when I was in Vegas and we were there for, the National NAB that happens there every spring, National Association of Broadcasters. Mm-hmm. But we also had some downtime. So we were by the pool. We were drinking.
Ooh.
And I saw the list of guest speakers and I realized that one of them was the head of a certain media company that I knew the cousin of. So I had emailed with this guy back and forth before, because I knew his cousin and his cousin's wife, and they had been like, email our cousin, and he's the head of a media company. So I'm like, oh, that dude's here, so I could meet him in person. So I send him an email, and I'm like, hello, I am in Vegas for professional reasons, NAB. We have emailed before. Would you like to meet up? We meet up, have lunch. Next day, I get the call that I have a full-time job.
How about that?
There you go.
Look at
Good
you.
Decision while I was tipsy.
Doing some networking.
My other decisions while tipsy, we're not going to go there. But Paul, why don't you tell us yours?
This is like makes me feel like the segment's more of an intervention, because I thought long and hard about this.
And you've never made a good one?
I literally have no clue. Like, all the good ones are like, I didn't make a bad decision.
Yeah.
Like preventative.
Yeah, they're all like, oh yeah, I didn't like get hit by a car walking the streets of Austin. Good decision.
I did have a very long soul-searching night when I was up in Seattle, and I want to say it was in October. And after I got let go in Seattle, I was drinking a lot.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, like, damn, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, because no one, the thing that was the biggest bummer is that none of the other places in Seattle wanted me. And, like, they weren't even, like, responding to me when I was, like, saying, like, hey, like, do you have any part-time work? Like, I'd love to prove that I can do X, Y, or Z. And it was kind of consistent with a lot of the people that were in Seattle in media. They were all kind of, like, clicky, mean girlsy, whatever. I try to be a very friendly person. So I was drinking, and then I put together a list of, like, pros and cons about places I could move. And I thought about Boston. I thought about Florida. And I also thought about Houston. And once I started, I wrote down three things for Houston, and I was like, I'm going back to Houston. So that is probably the best decision I made while drunk. I was actually productive while drinking.
Yeah, you made a pros and cons list while drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I still have them somewhere. I got to find them. I
cute.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff from Sean McVay, though. I mean, and to our point, it's like that drunk FaceTime, the butterfly effect, right, ended up winning him a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Look, it's a move that I wonder if it was more about getting Stafford or if it was about getting rid of Jared Goff.
Sure. And
honestly, I feel like McVay's recollection of it is probably a little bit skewed, because if you were paying attention to the way that things were going at the end of his time, he was being like a jerk to Jared Goff. It seems like there was just no conversation dialogue between the two. And you can understand why a coach would get frustrated with Jared Goff, but McVay was the guy who endorsed Goff. McVay was the guy who got the Rams to extend Goff.
Right.
Like, there was a lot of appreciation between the two for a little bit of time. I bet it was more, he was pissed about the Goff situation and he ran into Stafford and thought to himself, you know what, let's do it.
They did run into each other.
Right. Because that was part of it. Like, where, and was it natural or was it actually tampering?
God, yeah.
It seems like it probably was tampering.
We just happened to be at the same resort, blah, blah, blah. All right, listen, time to tell you about our friends at BUSR. Football season is right around the corner. Baseball is in full swing, baby. So sign up, BUSR.com/ESPN, and double do your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? The Texans, by the way, over-under set at 4.5 games. Are you a hater or are you a Mills Mafia believer? Get this. You can still get the Astros at +400. So go to BUSR.com/ESPN. You can also do roulette, blackjack, BUSR.com/ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday. We're getting ready for Vegas. We do a weekly gambling segment. We are learning with you as we learn more about the gambling
yeah.
world. But first, we're going to talk about a little bit about training camp. Training camp in full swing. Has training camp coverage become too much? And I say this because I'm seeing a lot of the same thing. And this is not for the Texans, just the Texans beat, by the way. Twitter has made training camp coverage aggressive. Back in the day, you know, a couple media members went to training camp, wrote an article, did interviews. And now I think because of the 24/7 news cycle, it is constantly like, this player, Davis Mills threw a laser, and this player, I mean, it's just a lot. I think, Paul, you have the right approach. You kind of, I don't want to say you mock it, but it's like in small doses.
Yeah, you got to, everyone is excited that football is about to start. But I think by nature, we all overreact to anything football that we see, and we try to squeeze as many strong opinions out of it. But for the most part, you'll see things in practice that are taking place, and then the regular season, it doesn't happen at all. I specifically point to Ja'Marr Chase and the issue of his hands into last year with the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase was one of the best rookies in the NFL, if not the best rookie in the NFL last season. So I think that sometimes we are just trying to find and something that, especially those who cover these teams, that is like pouring gasoline on extremely excited fans who want the season to start. Everyone's got hope. Everyone thinks that maybe this year's the year. So you see any small positive news, or you see something bad and you tend to be very hyperbolistic when you react to it. And we've seen a lot of that over the last couple of days.
We're seeing it with Tom Brady today. The latest, Todd Bowles tells the Tampa media Tom Brady will not return until after the team faces the Titans this preseason, which is August 20th. He says this is something that was discussed before training camp started, and he's dealing with a personal matter. So it's a pre-planned personal matter that was scheduled before training camp. This could be a lot of, this could be one of his kids getting ankle surgery. This could be a lot of different things.
Could be something family related. Who knows? He planned this. It's hard to not think of the past with Brett Favre in training camps, especially with Brady retiring and then unretiring, and then Favre sometimes keeping the will I or won't I conversation going into training camp. You can definitely speculate, and I mean, that's what we do this time of year, and the Bucs did not go as far as they had the season before. I think there are questions about if they're going to be able to do what they've done the last 2 years with largely the same roster for a third year.
The fact that it's pre-planned means that it is not because starters went down and all of that, so I wonder what it could be.
Yeah, I do too.
But Brady's camp keeps things like so tight that I don't feel like we will know.
Maybe it's like doing like practice shows with Fox or something.
Because it is
until August 20th. So it's like 10 days. It is a very long time.
Rupert Murdoch is bringing him along to be his No, that's not, he's not in charge anymore, is he?
No, it's Lachlan.
Okay.
But to my succession theory, because Tom Brady's going to be president. Maybe he's at the White House getting training.
Yeah. Mm. Ooh.
GOP candidate, baby.
The Manchurian candidate.
It could be a lot of different things, but I still stand by my theory that he is realizing that he doesn't like training camp and that he wants to take a little break.
I wouldn't be surprised by that either.
Patrick Mahomes threw a pass around his back that hit the crossbar. The Chiefs tweeted it and
best
pinned it to the top of their
ever,
page.
Vanessa?
Legend.
Is Patrick Mahomes going to do this in a game? The Chiefs offense is going to unlock new angles this season. Chiefs blog. At least one Chiefs blog. Had to have written that. I'm hoping.
I'm not going to bet against them for a lot of games, but they don't have Tyreek Hill. So they need to chill.
I think they need to chill. I also think some people need to chill with their evaluations of Patrick Mahomes on top of that. I think it's funny. When you see a headline like this, people lose their minds over specific plays. I remember this at a pro day with a very specific quarterback that we're about to talk about in a moment. Everyone got so excited about one throw he made at the pro day. People did the same thing with Malik Willis this offseason,
too. That's right. It was Malik Willis is going number two, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Did not happen. All right, it is time for our gambling segment.
Yes.
Let's go. I did.
We were gambling and woman.
We are a gambling man and woman.
Lord, we were born a gambling man and woman, and we are going to Vegas tonight.
Yes.
Paul and I are going to do some shows from there as well as the Wheelhouse. Should be a good time. We've got a couple steakhouse nights planned. Paul is going to go to Wet Republic because he's Paul.
Well, I mean, I'm a man.
What do you have picked out for our gambling segment?
So, when I get there, I like to do this if I go to Vegas before the start of a football season. I like to put some futures down and see what happens, and hopefully I'll have some extra change to roll around with the next time that I go to Vegas. And what I'm really intrigued to see, it has to do with the MVP conversation. One of the bets I'm going to put down, probably not a lot of money on it, is Davis Mills for MVP.
What?
Because it'll be fun, right? I mean, if you're putting down something that's plus 14,000.
Right.
I mean, those odds are astronomical. Why not put 20 down on it?
I was going to say, how much will it cost you?
That's the question I'm going to have to figure out. Like, there's probably a minimum that you have to spend. And I will probably put this in addition to a couple of other ones. I was going to do Patriots at, I think it's 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, BUSR.com/ESPN. But I don't know if I'm going to do it now with all the training camp reports I'm hearing.
Good point. Futures bet and that I will
wait,
make.
Wait. We just got done saying how, like, training camp's a bit much. Everyone looks good or everyone looks bad. And then now the Patriots, you just talked yourself out of a Super Bowl?
Yes, I did. Yes.
You don't think Bill Belichick's sandbagging, maybe?
Ooh, sandbagging. What a term. I don't know.
My futures bet would probably be a pretty easy one. I, like a lot of people, think the Bills will go to the Super Bowl this year. But I'm guessing that one would be more expensive?
Well, yeah, that's one that's not a fun way to go
so
about
I should,
it.
So I should do like one that's like really, really out there.
Yeah, I think so.
Texans AFC South champs, baby.
Do you want to go that far with the Texans AFC South champions?
AFC South champions, baby. Let's say Matt Ryan has an off year. Tannehill does Tannehill, and Trevor doesn't develop.
I mean, that could happen. That's for sure.
You just said it needs to be something fun.
That's
and
true.
And then I say something fun. So you think Mills is more realistic?
No,
MVP is more realistic than Texans winning the AFC South.
Yours is far more realistic. I'm actually trying to find the specific odds for that one going into the year. Yeah, that's probably more likely. I mean, the AFC South is not that good. And I was actually listening to a couple of people talk about on the Around the NFL podcast, talk about what the Texans...
Great podcast, by the way.
...over-under is. And they had Mina Kimes on, too. And I enjoyed Mina's breakdown of football, too. And everyone was feeling, like, pretty good about the over for the Texans, which is set at 4.5. That's a play, possibly, because they said... Did you know that the Texans are actually one of the oldest teams in the NFL this year?
Roster, like age-wise.
Yeah, they have a lot of veteran players on the team. And now that could change, obviously, by the time that the regular season starts. But, you know, I guess based off of, you know, what the actual depth chart is, there's a lot of guys that are veterans. And if you got a lot of veterans, you're probably not going to be a complete disaster as
a team. Sean, what's the futures bet that you would make that we shall make on your behalf?
Tua MVP.
He is a Tuanon. He is the leader of Tuanon.
I'm not the leader. I am merely a foot soldier, an acolyte.
A foot soldier.
I have a microphone in front of me. I am just doing the best for my community.
What about AFC West?
AFC West.
Like with Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I think, like Paul was saying, though, I think Justin Herbert has like the fourth best odds to win MVP. Mm. I imagine maybe Chargers Super Bowl would actually be kind of funny.
That would be good.
Maybe Chargers Super Bowl.
Let us know what we should bet on in Vegas. I'm a gambling noob, but I want to get more into it. Should I try to learn blackjack and roulette? Should I try to learn, I believe it's called craps? I've never done any of that in Vegas, but I want to.
Craps is confusing as hell.
That means I wouldn't get
it. But it's fun. Everyone seems to have such a fun collective time with one another while they do, while they play craps. But I remember trying to figure it out one time. The only time I've ever understood it, and I thank this person profusely. This was up at Turning Stone Casino. I forget. Maybe I'm thinking about a different place, but it was a place up in Seattle, and I went there, Snoqualmie Casino, and someone like walked me through the whole thing because I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm so thankful that like sometimes you have people that are there and they'll do it essentially for you. They will gamble with your money.
I was going to say, Vanessa, I feel like you could just be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me out. And then someone will be
and just
like,
leave a tip.
Very true.
If you win, just leave a nice tip.
Yeah. Just the
or,
tip.
I mean, I think maybe the Wheelhouse guys could probably help you out with like blackjack or something.
I think Jake Asman knows how to gamble.
Ooh.
I think Brad.
Brad.
Oh, who do you think is the best gambler on the Wheelhouse? I'd go with Brad.
I'd go with Jake just because he's kind of nerdy about certain stuff in a good way.
Here's a fun one.
He knows the probabilities.
This is a fun one you could do, Vanessa. I'm just looking through possible ones. Most interceptions thrown. NFL futures bet per BUSR.com/ESPN.
Mac Jones.
Jameis Winston.
Don't say Mac Jones. That's not nice. Jameis Winston's a good choice, but Carson Wentz at +2,600.
Oh, I'm doing it. Game over.
Those are pretty good odds.
Those are very good odds.
You should just negatively bet every Carson Wentz thing, like just everything that's bad, just vote Carson Wentz.
That's
first coach fired. Oh, wait. I guess Ron Rivera won't. You could do Matt Rhule, first coach fired.
Yeah.
You should embrace the dark side.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Dusty Baker has spoken about his lineup decisions. He's back today after battling the Rona. We'll talk about that, plus our garbage time segment next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros manager Dusty Baker is back at it today after battling the Rona. He said he feels good. That first and foremost is most important.
Secondly, Trey Mancini is back in the lineup.
He is, but let's read some of the quotes on the why of why Mancini was out. Dusty Baker on Trey Mancini. He only played 13 games in the outfield in Baltimore before he got here. I got to play my best fly ball guy out there. He played right field in Baltimore because it's a short porch, so I got to play him more in left field. But what do I do with Yordan, who wants to play in the outfield with some and McCormick and Meyer, so I'm trying to get going.
He'll find a way to play.
That was via Adam Spillane. Chandler Rome tweeting, if I got Fromber pitching, I need Yuli. He's the golden glove. There's only one golden glove. If I got a fly ball pitcher, he only played 13 games in the outfield in Baltimore before he got here. I got to play my best fly ball.
Right. I think that was talking about Mauricio Dubon, putting him in center field. These are just such random things. I'm sorry. It should not be all based on defense. It shouldn't. Yes. Some guys are better fielders than others. Do you know what's more important in baseball in 2022? Offense, scoring runs. You just traded for Trey Mancini. You got to give me more than that. Yordan wants to play in the outfield. You're the bleeping manager. Who cares what he wants?
Very strange answers by Dusty Baker on Trey Mancini. We'll see how they utilize him today. I believe he's designated hitter as well. But this is going to be interesting because if he stays on a roll like he has been, Paul, and they continue to not use him, I think it's going to be the first time. I mean, we've heard Astros fans criticize Dusty Baker, certainly. I think it's the first time they may be actually mad about something that, let's face it, a guy that seems to change the score of games.
Yes, exactly. This quote in particular, Vanessa, I'm doing the best I can trying to win games and trying to get everybody sharp. I can't play everybody. I don't think we're doing too bad. Would it satisfy more people if we had 75 wins?
I mean, yeah, I think people would like more wins than less wins.
But isn't that such a hyperbolic statement?
No, it is. They're at 71. I believe they're 71 and 41 right now, by the way.
Yeah, obviously we'd be happier, but I think we're talking about one player. We're talking about Trey Mancini, and you just got him, and it's bizarre the way you've handled him because it seems like this is the finishing piece for a World Series contender, and instead he has missed more time than, like, Chaz McCormick.
Honestly noteworthy is that Trey Mancini is a free agent after this year, and so if you're an Astros fan, I think you want Mancini to stick around based on what we've seen. And if I'm Mancini, I ain't sticking around if I'm not playing. I mean, it's just not happening.
Oh, boy.
A lawyer for the LIV Golf Tour during Tuesday's temporary restraining order hearing in San Jose made a statement that called into question the matter of prize money on the Saudi-backed circuit. Quote, the prize purses are in addition to... There is no draw at LIV Golf on any finances. We just wanted to, on the record, say it's in addition to.
This is interesting. Now, no one has 100% the correct answer of what's going on because LIV spokespeople have said, oh, this isn't actually a thing multiple times, but then they've gotten asked again and they've been a little bit less clear with their secondary response. But from the sound of things, the prizes that you win being on this tour, like, you don't actually win them. So there's an incentive to join the LIV Tour. But if it's true, as suggested, that the money that you win, prize money, is taken out of the signing bonus you win, like, that's pretty weaselly.
It's also, though, it's what they get. It's what you get when you leave your woman for a shiny new thing. Yes, there might be a couple of fun private jets, you know, to and from. Yes, there may be more money. But this is what happens. And quite frankly, all of their agents should have looked into it. I don't feel sorry for these golfers at all.
You're correct.
Do you think the agents, like, were just like, $100 million? Yep. Yeah, sign it.
Yeah, because you know what? Because they get 10% of that.
And also not considering that they're doing business with literally the Saudi government, who, like, oh, underhanded business deals?
Yeah, like, kill Jamal Khashoggi. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any of this. Oh, it's not what we thought it would be. We should still be able to play in the PGA. I got no problem with somebody that takes more money, but choices have consequences. Hello, LIV golfers. All right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Good take.
Thank you. Pete Davidson is not having a good time after his breakup with Kim Kardashian. According to People magazine, the 28-year-old has been in trauma therapy in large part because of posts that Kanye made.
It's Kanye. If Kanye,
I miss the old Kanye.
If Kanye West made a post about you, Vanessa,
yeah,
would you be upset? He's a crazy person.
Nothing but flattery, attention, and more followers. I'm good with it.
Seriously.
I sound like Paul Gallant.
It would literally be the best thing that ever happened.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, like thus far into life.
So how do we get our own version of a Skeet Davidson post on Kanye's feed?
I need to date Kim Kardashian.
One of the three of us needs to date Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
You know, that would be, Vanessa, the best plot twist of all time.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, is she a lesbian?
A radio host in Houston called Vanessa Richardson.
I mean, it's like,
has now revealed that she's not actually a lesbian. She just did it for business reasons.
Did it for the clout.
Quote, I'm set for life. End quote.
Who's our Kris Jenner here? Sean, can you be our Kris Jenner?
Yes.
Yeah, I can be the momager.
Okay.
Yeah.
The momager. I like it.
And who would you be? You can be one of the sisters.
Kendall or Kylie. Yeah.
No, I would have to be, I'd have to be like the jealous person that's causing Kanye. I don't know. I have to figure this one out. Like, maybe I'm the one that's talking trash to Kim Kardashian the whole time as you're having this relationship.
Right.
And then Kanye comes after me because I'm going after the woman that he doesn't know how to feel about.
But the point is that none of us ever have to work again because we have all of these shake deals and all of these fitness app deals.
I would become a reality TV show star like that.
A guy in Indy did that.
Really?
My friend Ben, he's on F-Boy Island.
What?
Which is on HBO Max. Shout out to Ben Polizzi. I love you. Funniest guy I knew in college, and now he is monetized on it.
I heard the show's good. I haven't seen it yet.
He is the funniest person on there.
They put a whole bunch of F-boys on an island.
Well, half of them are F-boys and half of them are nice guys, and the girls have to figure out which one's an F-boy and which one's a nice guy.
How are they going to get me on?
Yeah, I was going to say, this show's tailor-made.
Hey, there's an aggressive amount of khakis, Hawaiian shirts, and then showing your abs. I mean, it's perfect for Paul.
My abs aren't my abs. Exactly.
It's more shoulders,
hey,
right?
Paul.
Thank you.
Be better and get ready because we're sending in an audition tape.
Well, imagine the diet and exercise plan when you get booked for like F-Boy Island
just
that
don't
you'd go
eat
on.
Right. Two workouts a day. Oh, yeah, 100%.
9 months, though. They were only together for 9 months. That's a long relationship for anybody on this show. So would we need trauma therapy after a 9-month relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's about what Kanye's doing to go back
like
to the beginning.
It's not actually about the relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, wow, Kanye texted you abusively. I mean, there's a block button. Wow. Kanye
also,
made an aggressive post.
He knew what he was getting into. You dated a former porn star. Olivia Wilde believes that Jason Sudeikis was trying to aggressively embarrass and threaten her when she was publicly served legal papers during a panel in April.
What a spin zone.
This was a jerk move by Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, but she cheated on him.
But they,
with Harry Styles.
Really?
Yeah.
They have children together, so it's like, mommy, it's like you're causing issues for your children.
There's a movie that's about to come out starring the girl who plays Black Widow, that plays the Black Widow's little sister. She was disgusted because Olivia Wilde, who's directing the movie, and Harry Styles were apparently like just making out on set all day. So she's been kind of not promoting the movie.
Did I miss something on Harry Styles? Because
yeah, Harry Styles is dating Olivia Wilde.
He's okay.
Is he a bleep boy as well?
I think she's saying it's an upset that Olivia Wilde doesn't seem like his type.
I don't get the Harry Styles appeal.
I think she's saying she would believe it more if Jason Sudeikis got with Harry Styles.
According to the internet, Kevin Federline has posted videos of Britney Spears
today. Hell yeah.
Arguing with her sons.
I watched these videos.
Yeah, okay, give me the scoop because I didn't watch them.
Okay, basically, the kids are recording at night and you can't see her, but you can hear her yelling at them for reasons unbeknownst. And Kevin Federline decided it would be good for the family to put these out into the open. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Like, I get why Britney Spears had a conservatorship. Everyone acts like, free Britney, free Britney. I mean, look, being a idol like that when you're young, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's not her fault that she went crazy, right? But she did go crazy.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't need, like, the full-on where she makes no decisions for herself.
Right, like, she should be able to go to Starbucks.
Yeah, but she needs some help.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the entire situation, specifically the kids, that the dad is putting this out in the open, and I think this is part of a custody battle. So, man, you're kind of messed up if you're putting your kid's business out there. And
it's how I feel about Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, who apparently is with Harry Styles. I mean, it's just when you have kids involved.
To bring it out into the open, it's not a good look. I think in the case with Jason Sudeikis, there is a possibility that that was what the person who served her the papers thought would be the best way to go about doing it. But I could be wrong. I've seen people get served in very interesting ways before.
You've been served?
No, I've never been served.
No, he's seen people get served.
No, stop. I've seen viral videos. There was one where somebody got in line with a rapper waiting to get some Jordan's autograph by him. And as soon as he got the Jordan's autograph, he handed him some papers.
I want to serve somebody so I can say, you just got served.
Ooh, great movie.
All right, I am going to watch the Britney Spears videos on the way to Vegas. You are going to watch Bull Durham.
Yes.
We will talk to you guys tomorrow live from Vegas. But coming up now, you got the Killer Bees, Joel Blank, and Jeremy Branham. And I'm sure you'll hear a thing or two about that Dusty Baker
lineup. Dusty Baker
lineup.
Takes. Let's go. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.